Chapter 14. The Martini. No one really knows the true origins of the drink that E.B. White called the Elixir of Quietude. Some say a bartender invented it at the end of the 1800s in the town of Martinez, California. Others say other things. Too many people say too many things, and I wish they'd stop. In the end, it doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is that the martini exists. And to me, it matters a great deal that it exists in its driest form. The word martini will always be capitalized within these pages. Originally, martinis were made with a 1-to-2 ratio of dry vermouth and gin. If one were using sweet vermouth, this would be known as a perfect martini. But over the years, martinis became more and more dry, meaning they used less and less vermouth, to the point where many were made with none at all. Noel Coward suggested that the cocktail of cocktails be made by filling a glass with gin and waving it in the general direction of Italy. And I agree. I've heard that in England during World War II, scotch was used as a replacement for vermouth, which, for obvious reasons, was hard to come by. This story may well be apocryphal, but I like the resourcefulness of the idea, and having often made a martini this way, I must say it's very tasty. In my opinion, depending upon the quality and flavor profile of the gin or vodka, little or no vermouth should be used. I also believe that a martini should be stirred and not shaken, no matter what 007 has told bartenders on screens for the last 60 years. Yet at Duke's in London, where Mr. Fleming supposedly conjured up the ultimate gentleman spy, martinis are neither shaken nor stirred unless requested. Frigid potato vodka is poured directly into an ice-cold glass and garnished with one's choice of olives or a lemon twist. Although I pride myself on being able to handle my liquor, due to the absence of ice cubes and their diluting effects on the alcohol, one of these can be enough for me to ask the waiter if he would discreetly remind me of my own name. I only learned to make a martini properly not when I was a bartender at Alfredo's many years ago, but when I was a customer many years later. It was in a hotel on Mallorca near a house I was staying in while filming a project that barely saw the light of day, thank God. I bellied up to the bar one evening after a rousing game of tennis and ordered a very dry martini. As usual, I watched the bartender like a hawk while he concocted my crepuscular tipple, making sure he had even a vague idea of how to work both shaker and strainer simultaneously. I have actually been known to talk bartenders through the process very carefully if I see them struggling, or ask politely if I can go behind the bar and just make my own. Luckily, as it turns out, this bartender, who was Italian, more than knew his way around a bar. Here's what he did, and now, thanks to him, this is what I do. Martini. Ice. Dry vermouth. Gin or vodka. Olives or a lemon twist to garnish. Take a glass beaker and fill it with ice. Pour in half a shot of good dry vermouth. Stir it well for about 15 seconds. Let it sit for about 30 seconds. Stir it again. Strain out the vermouth. Pour in 3 to 4 shots of good gin or good vodka. Stir it well for about 30 seconds. Let it sit for about 30 seconds. Stir it again for another 30 seconds. Let it sit for another 30 seconds. Stir it quickly. Strain it into a chilled glass. Garnish with either 1 or 3 olives, never 2, or a lemon twist. Drink it. Become a new person. I discovered martinis after graduating college at a restaurant called Café Luxembourg on the Upper West Side of New York. It is an upscale French bistro that has been serving consistently good food for about 40 years, and I'm happy to say it is still extant. I didn't have much money at the time, but I would often sit at the polished zinc bar, nurse a martini or two, and partake of the free hard-boiled eggs that were on offer. A terrible diet, yes, but I was young, and this was my right. I was so happy just to be perched at the bar in this kinetic environment, reading, writing, or simply observing the well-heeled as they ordered meals and bottles of wine I hoped I could one day afford. At the time, martinis were not nearly as fashionable as they are now, nor were there as many brands of gin or vodka on the market as there are today. But as a hopeless romantic who had a penchant for the 1930s and 40s, I drank them in the hope that they might imbue me with the charm and savoir-faire of William Powell or the aforementioned master of caustic wit and wisdom, Noel Coward. I normally ask for them to be made with Bombay gin, which was a stretch for my rather tight budget, but well worth it. Then, around the mid-80s, Bombay released their Sapphire brand. Brilliant marketing caused it to become all the rage, and after tasting it once, I immediately upgraded my martinis, despite my meager earnings. Since my early days at Café Luxembourg, the martini has been a staple of my diet. In fact, it is not rare for me to sport a portable martini kit on a film set, which I put to good use at the end of a day of filming when I have settled back into the makeup chair and the mask, quote-unquote, is removed, as we actors pompously say. Well, not me, but probably someone like Ryan Reynolds would say that. Ryan Reynolds is a very dear friend and would never say such words. But Colin Firth probably would. I have used this kit or others like it for many years, and it gives me great pleasure to mix a martini for anyone who craves one at rap, as I do. During the filming of Captain America, the director Joe Johnston became so used to them that even if I'd rapped a bit early, his assistant would knock on the door and ask if I could wait around just a bit longer to make Joe his evening elixir. I was more than happy to oblige, within reason, of course, as he was such a great fella. On the same film, Chris Evans, Haley Atwell, and I bonded over trailer teenies, and we have remained close friends ever since. The wonderful director Barry Sonnenfeld and I always drank a martini together during our two collaborations on the last shot of every day of filming. For those lucky enough not to be in the biz, the last shot of the day is known as the martini, and we were simply making sure it lived up to its name. Speaking of names, I'll pick up all those I've just dropped a little later. Over a decade ago, I was lucky enough to work with the brilliant makeup artist Peter King on The Lovely Bones. Together we came up with the look of the horrid person I was playing, a rapist serial killer named Mr. Harvey. The director, Peter Jackson, Peter King, and I felt it was vital that the character be as unremarkable-looking as possible within the setting of 1970s American suburbia. We achieved this with a wig, false teeth, a fake mustache, blue contact lenses, and a lightening of my skin tone. Why they didn't hire someone else is still a mystery to me. With the addition of a false paunch, drab attire, and aviator glasses, I was practically unrecognizable and was glad of it as I found the role to be more emotionally and psychologically taxing than any I had ever played. For this reason, I could not wait to shed Mr. Harvey at the end of every day. Removing that benign face of evil was freeing indeed, and I must admit, never was a post-rap martini more needed. I'd stir up a couple for Peter and myself, luckily he shared my affinity for them and then some, and into the stemmed glass would slip all of the anxiety and emotional discomfort I had felt during that day's filming. Those happy few who have ever experienced a well-made, straight-up dry martini will know that after the first sip, one is instantly soothed and the world is set right. Of course, any drink at the end of a working day takes the edge off, but a well-made martini eases and polishes that edge like no other drink I know. After the second one, that edge is practically beveled. In short, whether it is made with gin or with vodka, a martini is the quintessence of elegance that we all aspire to and believe we acquire when we drink one. However, just as they can elevate a body, they can also be the source of a soul's downfall. As Dorothy Parker purportedly once said, "I like a martini, two at the very most. After three, I'm under the table. After four, I'm under my host."